sing if you're ready to care.
What is up, everybody? It is your boy, We2Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slappin' Meat Wrestling Podcast. This is episode 292, and we got some interesting topics, I'm sure, to talk about. We'll breeze through some wrestling news that I've seen. We'll talk over what I thought about NXT on Tuesday, and we'll go over that show. We'll do our deep five, where I tell you five things that if I were in control of the pro wrestling industry that I would change and make a strong focus on a We2Deep ran promotion, or if I ran the industry. And then we'll go into our final thoughts, but we'll open with our opening thoughts. And the first thing we are going to do is I'm going to have to clarify. You know, I've gotten some feedback over last week's episode and over the last few weeks of me saying, you know, oh, but Raw wasn't really boring. You said Raw was boring, and I liked it. So the first thing, I want to come on here, and I'm not being like sarcastic. I'm not doing this out of like, oh, well, you know, I'm not trying to like joke when I say this. I'm being 100% realistic here, right? And real with you all. I was under the impression that because I've laid the groundwork before that everyone understood that when I click record and I turn the mic on, that this podcast was 100% opinionated, right? I'm not trying to run a show that runs like I have some sort of backstage information, because I don't. So I'll lay that groundwork again, which is, this is my opinion. In fact, I know I've stated numerous times over the years, the only reason I even started this was to give me a place to give my opinion. Not that I think anyone should care about it, but I just needed a place to express it that wasn't, you know, because if you're a wrestling fan, you kind of know how this is. You're out and about around the day, and you're interacting with people, and probably 90 to 95% of the people you interact with on a daily basis, unless you're in a really deep wrestling market, they don't talk about wrestling like that, right? And so this, to me, was just a place where I could come in, I could center in on this thing of pro wrestling, and I could talk about it, and I can give my opinions, and I can say what I felt about it, right? Understand that this is 100% opinion. Everything that is said is 100% my opinion, and whether I'm right or I'm wrong, that's where the discussion comes in, right? So let's clarify why I said Raw was boring, because specifically on that matter, I've gotten a couple pieces of feedback saying, well, I thought the show was a good show this past Monday, to which I will say, if that's how you feel, you have all the power in the world to feel that way. If you enjoyed Raw, I don't want to stop you from enjoying it. What I will say, though, is that my opinion on the episode and my opinion on wrestling in general is not just Monday Night Raw. It's not just SmackDown. It's not just WWE. My opinion is that wrestling in 2025 has sort of plateaued, and everything feels very safe. And when you book safe, you book the show starts to become boring. And so let me in order to properly illustrate what I mean by boring, I have to use an anecdote that is used in religion. And I know there may not be people who care about, you know, the religious stuff, and I try not to go here on a wrestling show, but this is the best way that I can explain it, right? Where in there's the idea of you don't want to be lukewarm, you need to be hot or cold, right? That comes from the Christian religion. And the meaning behind it is, and we could use that anecdote and we could actually explain the science behind it, right? Cold food, wonderful, right? Right, fresh out the fridge, especially like I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about like pizza, right? Cold pizza, I don't know about you, I love cold pizza, right? I will purposely order a whole pizza for myself, eat like three slices at that time, put the rest in the fridge, because I love cold pizza. I know, strange, right? Pizza fresh out the oven, very, very good, right? So you have the cold, you have the hot. Have you ever had like lukewarm pizza, like the pizza you microwave for like 30 seconds because you're hungry and you bite into it and it's like cold and like there's a little bit of warmness to it and it's gross? Like that's how I feel a lot about any microwave food. You either have to nuke the shit out of it to where it's dry and there's no nutritional value in it, or like if you cook it for like a minute and it's like, you know, it's lukewarm, right? You ever had water? You know, hot water is good, right? The taste doesn't change with water, but like hot water is perfectly fine. The body has no reaction towards hot water. Cold water, like I got in this cup, refreshing, right? But if I let this sit here for 30, 40 minutes and become room temp and lukewarm, that's when it gets really meh, right? You have that visceral reaction to want to throw up, right? And that's where I feel Raw is at right now, right? It's not the worst product ever to where we could sit here and point out obvious problems with the show, right? And it's not the greatest thing ever to where we get on here and say, bro, there's nothing we can critique. Everything is perfect, right? And it's in that middle zone where there's no risk being taken, there's no story being told, and that's where I really feel that Raw is being boring, is on a story. I've said this numerous times. When I watch wrestling, I watch for the story. I'm not even kidding. We're going to talk about NXT, and there were probably two matches during that two-hour NXT show where I sat there and I said, I could probably fast-forward through this match, because I don't care about the match on a week-to-week basis. I just don't. I care about the story. What are you telling me that gets me interested in the finale, which is the match at the PLE? Right? That, like, I will watch a PLE match all day long and thoroughly enjoy it, because my philosophy on wrestling is that a majority of the weekly programming should be storyline to push us to want to watch. The entire weekly show should be a promo to get you to watch the PLE. But instead, what the wrestling fan base has pushed the booking for every company to do is to turn everything into an indie show where you have 17 matches on, and I'm over-exaggerating for effect, but where you have a three-hour SmackDown with zero story plot. And I think that's about to change, at least with Solo and Jacob tonight. There should be a start of a new story. So that's the only thing really interesting me for SmackDown tonight, if I even watch. But like for Raw, like you have a 2.5 hour show, and the wrestling fan base is pushing Raw to have like five matches on the card and very little storytelling, and it's become to where every week has to be in essentially its own PLE level event. And what that does is when everything feels like a PLE, then the PLEs don't feel special. So from my point of view, the promo to get me to watch the next PLE, which is Saudi Arabia, right? So every show from Money in the Bank to Saudi Arabia, and I'm going to put an asterisk by that. We're not going to talk about the politics of the situation, but I don't know if you guys know this or not, but there's now a freshly brewed war brewing up over in the Middle East overnight as some rockets have been launched. And we're not going to pick sides on this show because that's not the point. We're a wrestling show. But the first thought that I had it when I was watching the news and they showed the map, I was like, oh, Saudi's right in the middle of this tension. I wonder if they got to cancel WWE now. That's the first thought that I had. But, you know, let's assume they still make it to Saudi, right? Everything on the programming from Money in the Bank to Saudi should be storyline and promo that lead me to want to watch the Saudi Arabian PLE Night of Champions, right? With, and we're going to explain this here, and then I'll go ahead and talk about it. Why are these, you know, the King and Queen of the Ring gimmicks? I get it. You want it to be for, you want it to feel special, so you make the prize the World Heavyweight Championship. You know what would make it feel better, though? If you made this for the IC, the women's IC, the men's IC, or the mid-card belts, right? So you grab people from SmackDown, people from Raw, and the winning brand gets to choose their mid-card title. And you put the mid-card, and you do these qualifiers, and you don't do fatal four-ways, and you do singles matches, and you have 3 to 4 weeks leading up between Money in the Bank and Saudi of just promoting the mid-card through King and Queen of the Ring, where you just put on some banger matches. You have 4 matches a night with these matches. You build your top of the card on the men's and women's side equally through backstage promos and vignettes and promos in the ring and the action of the show is your mid card. And we'll digest this in the final thought portion as well, or excuse me, actually is going to be in the deep five section of the show. But Raw to me is just missing the one key element of pro wrestling that I watch for. Were the matches fun and fine? Sure, AJ versus whoever the fuck he, but that's the point. You forget the matches when they don't have a story. Like I said this in the Discord, that I feel like current product WWE is starting to feel like peak 2021 AEW, where AEW fans, like James, immediately critiqued my statement and said, well, that was peak AEW. Well, that's the point. That was when AEW started to lose a lot of the more casual fan base, which I would still consider myself part of, because you stopped. You didn't do storytelling. You just did random matches for the sake of matches, right? You had a lot of the more casual WWE fans in 2019 when you started, and as you started hitting 2021 post COVID era, and you just started to be an indie show with a television production, it really threw a lot of people like me out of watching AEW because there was no story. And that's exactly what Raw and SmackDown are starting to do, is that they're producing essentially 6 hours a week between those two shows of matches. And at least I will give WWE credit for this. A lot of times the matches have at least an introduction as to why they're happening. Not a lot of story, and so they still don't make a lot of sense. But you basically have 6 hours of programming now on WWE where there's no story-driven narrative to get behind. And at the end of the day, that's at least what I watch. And I feel that's how everyone should watch wrestling. If we demanded stories and not just characters? Because the problem is, oh, we want our truth. Okay, cool. But what do you want our truth to do? What do you want his story to be? You got him back. We can't just be satisfied with that. Oh, we want Cody. Okay, well, what do you want Cody to do? What do you want him to be in a story? You see, I just, like, you want characters, but no one actually wants story. You just want matches. You want to get to the climax action scene without any plot point as to why we should care that they're even fighting in the first place. And what that becomes is pro wrestling just becomes a bunch of fake fighting. And guys, I don't have the time to sit here and digest 6 hours of fake fighting without any narrative. If you give me a narrative, if you give me a reason to want to stay and watch, all the other negative from the business side of TKO, from you know, overpricing the fans and all of this stuff, right? If you can give me a narrative, I'll be honest, I could probably overlook that stuff because I'm not going to shows anyway, right? You've outpriced me, but I'm also at the point in my life where I would rather just watch on TV. And you want to go, like, everyone's like, I want to go to, you know, I know a lot of football fans. I want to go to at least one Super Bowl before I die. Nah, I'll just watch it on my television, right? It's, I can control the AC. I can control the food. Food's probably going to be a lot cheaper. I can see the field from the TV screen just fine. I don't have to buy nosebleeds, right? So I'm perfectly content, right? Speaking of which, I just remember Great American Bash tickets went on sale. So we're going to live record my reaction to these ticket prices to NXT Great American Bash. Because if it's the same as what these Evolution tickets, because I really want to go to Evolution. I'm 4 hours away from Atlanta. And I really wanted to go to Evolution, and they are charging an arm and a leg for these things. So let's take a look. Great American Bash. Ah, you know what? I'm recording this super early in the morning, so the tickets aren't on sale to general public yet because it's 7:30 here and they go on sale at 10. But you can go to Game Time, which you know, Game Time, I'm trying to get a sponsorship or something because I love your stuff. But, you know, we can go to Game Time here and we can take a look on there and what people are reselling them for. Are they Game Time smart? They're not letting resale for them out yet. All right. I see you. But let me just talk about, like, Evolution, right? On Game Time, we got to, I mean, this is with fees, right? Yeah. I mean, so it's not bad, but this is State Farm Arena. This is a basketball arena. Sitting at the top, you're not going to be able to see nothing, right? And so the seats where you could see something are still going for like 500. Right. And so you're not going to be able to watch me react to the ticket prices of Great America Bash, because by the time they go on sale, this should be up on the internet anyway. To me, Raw being boring, first off, that's not me being mean to the product. I respect the people who are on the show. What that is it's just a critique. Because I know the show can be better, right? So this isn't just, oh, he just wants to be negative. No, the show isn't good, right? And so with that, I hope that clarified what I mean when I put on the thumbnail for this episode and when I say Raw is boring. That's what I mean. It's not that the show doesn't have interesting action. It's that the action doesn't matter because there's no story. And how I watch any TV show, and that's how I see pro wrestling, it's a TV show centered around an athletic event, right? It is an entertainment source. And what I need from that, like, even the most basic, like, thing. So, you know, the closest thing that we have in an entertainment source to compare to WWE, for being honest, is like the circus, right? Or the trapeze, like Circus Soleil type stuff, right? And even there, in order, like, so you could go and be entertained by the flips, but a good circus act or a good Cirque du Soleil act will tell you a story. Broadway. Broadway is another good example, right? Or plays or musicals, right? If you go to a musical just for the choreography and the dancing, well, none of that matters if they're not telling you a story. If you go to a musical just for the singing, that's an aspect you can go for. But they need to tell you a story to keep you entertained, right? Or else they're just singing songs, right? And that's how I see pro wrestling. Sure, the action is part of the show, right? But nothing feels important on any of WWE shows because you make the weekly program feel like a PLE. And so the PLEs, which are where you're supposed to have the final resolutions, none of them feel important because PLEs are just being booked the same way as weekly shows. And so there's no differentiation, which is why a Saturday Night Main Event show feels like a glorified house show, because that's what it is. And a Monday Night Raw is a PLE without any of the stakes. It's being booked where we need matches. We need matches. Guys, matches are great with storyline attached to them, right? Second thing I want to open up with, excuse me, is this complaint coming from from AEW fans. And I laugh when I hear this all the time because they just don't get it, right? These AEW fans, right, crying all the time about, you know, we got people on Twitter and multiple Discord servers, not in ours, because we don't complain about this. But even then, sometimes James will complain about this, right? Got people on podcasts talking about how WWE is wrong or petty for putting shows up against AEW programming, how they're breaking some sort of unwritten rule of conduct, you know, using arguments of like, it's just not fair, WWE's bullying AEW. And you know what I say? You know what this is my actual opinion. Like I'm not faking this. We're going to keep it real. We're going to keep it raw. We're going to keep it relevant. I don't care. Welcome to the Thunderdome known as business. Right? Welcome. You've joined the business world. Just because Tony Khan doesn't want competition and wants to avoid it does not mean that WWE, just because Tony Khan wants to avoid competition doesn't mean WWE has to tiptoe around him. Tony may want to play it safe, stay in his little sandbox, keep everything nice and scheduled around everyone else, be the good guy, but that does not make that line of thought the standard. That may be his philosophy, but the rules of engagement in war, because let's just be honest, this is a war for attention. Just like WWE going up against any TV show that is on Monday night is a war for attention. WWE versus every show on Netflix is a war of attention. This is why I respect Vince Russo, because that is what he thought about when he booked. He didn't try to beat WCW. He tried to beat Everybody Loves Raymond. Now, that's a futile idea to try to do, because good luck with that. But that was his thought process. How am I going to beat the Cosby Show? How am I going to beat insert very popular show in the 90s, right? Everybody Loves Raymond, I think, was their direct competition at the 8 o'clock hour on Monday nights, right? How am I going to beat them? How am I going to draw attention from them? How am I going to draw attention from Monday Night Football? That is what Vince Russo thought about. That is how I think about, right? WWE needs to be in a position. How am I going to steal attention from any other show on Netflix? How am I going to get people to click on us live on Monday nights? Right? How am I going to get people to watch on Fridays and choose us over basketball or any sporting event or any of the other shows? Not just how am I going to get them to choose us over the other wrestling products, but how am I going to get them to, how am I going to get win the war of attention against all the other entertainment products that are on TV? The rules of engagement in this war of attention aren't set by the guys in second place. And in the wrestling business, WWE is the people who are in first place. They are the standard for how the business is to be run. They're set by the rules are set by the big dog. And right now, WWE is the big dog. This is not some schoolyard. It's not a charity. This is not Pop Warner football where everyone gets a chance. It's not cooperate and coexist. No. Like I said, it's a war for attention, a war for market share, a war for legacy. WWE isn't trying to bully AEW. They're doing what any smart, dominant company would do, exploiting the open windows, filling in the gaps, and reminding people who really sits at the top of the food chain. Let's drop this fake morality and look at it for what it actually is. But first, let me tell you what it's not, and we're going to use a sports analogy, okay? This isn't like two NFL teams playing at the same time. That's not what we're talking about, right? This isn't the top. This is not two NBA franchises overlapping on a Sunday night. Sports leagues don't compete like that because they're structured to coexist. They're part of the same system. But AEW and WWE, they're not the same league. They're rival empires, right? So let's take that out of the way, right? Because a lot of people want to use the excuse of, well, you never see the NBA and the NFL coexisting putting programming. And I would actually have that argument that, well, you're wrong, because Christmas Day, the NBA started Christmas Day games for the basketball, and the NFL saw that that worked. And so the NFL, and I actually want to take a look at that, right? I want to take a look at that. The NFL said, well, you know what? Christmas Day works for the NBA, so we're gonna do Christmas Day football. And I have a theory. I don't actually know the Christmas Day game because I know it's not the Patriots. I know it's not the Patriots. So Christmas Day, okay, that's a pretty bad Christmas Day game. But it's not. Look at what we got Christmas Day. We got the Commanders and the Cowboys. That's a divisional game. All right, we got the Lions and the Vikings. That's a divisional game, and the Lions are a pretty good team right now, right? You got the dominant Commanders team as well. But look what's in prime time. This is what I'm talking about. This is what the NFL does because of the top of the food chain in sports world. Prime time, Thursday night football, Christmas Day, live in Kansas City where Taylor Swift's going to be on the screen. You guarantee they're going to do it. They're playing the Broncos, which the Broncos should be competitive this year, right? But that's what the NFL does to win the war of attention against the NBA. The schedule, I don't think, is out for the NBA yet, so I don't know what they're going to put against it. If the NBA is smart, they would schedule three really good games or four games. I think they do four games. They would schedule really, really good games, and you would put your top markets. I wouldn't do Boston because Jalen – I don't know if Jalen Brown even either. He just had surgery, but I don't know what his return time is, but – Tatum's out all year, so there's really no like marketable figure in Boston anymore. So you probably won't put Boston in primetime, but I would put Halliburton in the Knicks, Indiana in the Knicks in the primetime. This is a big time market, like it's a small market game, so you would put it in New York, right? But that's a big rivalry in the NBA right now that I would counter the Chiefs Broncos with. People will still probably go watch the Chiefs, but you see, you get what I'm saying, right? I would argue that that's probably the only time in the sports world, that and then one more. And what is that? And that is the NFL running huge primetime specials in the middle of the World Series, the MLB World Series, right? This is October, right? And so the World Series, I had to look this up. The World Series starts October 25th and ends November 2nd. But let's start with the playoffs. We're gonna go the entire week of the playoffs, right? The entire month of October, which when the playoffs begin, and look at what we have going for us, right? What do we have going for you, right? The first week of October, Sunday night football actually doesn't exist. That's fucking weird. Actually, it does. It's the Bills-Patriots. I forgot. Patriots are on the top of my list because it's my team, and that's Sunday night football. But Bills-Patriots, a big market rivalry with Josh Allen, that's a decent game to go against, you know, the first round of the playoffs. That same day, though, that Monday night, what do you got? You got the Jaguars at home playing who? The Chiefs. You know who probably will be there? Probably Taylor Swift. The next week, as you're probably entering the end of the first round or the second round of the playoffs, Thursday night has the Eagles in it. They're playing the Giants, so it's not a big game. But what do we, oh, look what we have here. We have two Monday night football games. And guess who's on Sunday night? Sunday night in the midst of the playoffs, the MLB playoffs for baseball. Who's Sunday night football week two of the playoffs? It's the Lions versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs in another primetime game during the playoffs. In Kansas City, where Taylor Swift will more than definitely be on the screen. And who's Monday Night Football? Well, you got the Bills versus the Falcons, and you got the Commanders versus the Bears. The Commanders and the Bills both are playoff-worthy teams in primetime markets with a lot of watchability, right? There's your primetime games, right? Now you're getting to the end of the third round, right before the World Series. Right, your division finals, right? That's Thursday night, Bengals Steelers. That's a watchable game, right? You don't have the Chiefs in primetime that week. You have them at a 1 o'clock. But who do we have in primetime? The 49ers and the Falcons that Sunday night. That Monday, again, two games. Again, it's a war of attention, so let's put two games on. What are the two games? Lions-Buccaneers. That could possibly be for the number one seed. It's week seven, so it's not really going to matter for the one seed, but it could come down to playoff seeding ability, right? And then you got the Seahawks and the Texans, which depending on how Sam Darnold plays, the Seahawks could be a threat, maybe not, but the Texans more than likely will be a threat next year, right? And then you get to the World Series, and this is where the competition really beefs up, right? You get into the week of the World Series, and what do you have? You have Sunday Night Football, Steelers-Packers, right? Now, the competition is not going to be Sunday night. Here's why. Because game one of the World Series is Saturday, October 25th. There's a day in between each game, which means game two is on Monday. So who's Monday Night Football going against game two of the World Series going to be? Well, no other than probably one of the greater games on the schedule that I'm actually, you know, I've said that I never really watch football outside of the Patriots. This might be a game that I watch. The Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Washington Commanders going up against game two of the World Series. This is in prime time, Monday night, right? That is how the NFL, when they look at their schedule, that is how they counterproduce the MLB and and then you look at their Christmas games and you look, oh, well, we're doing Thanksgiving games and we're also going to put things on Black Friday because we need attention, right? No one complains about it either. But somehow we get to wrestling and we forget that business is business, right? You don't ask the leader to move out of the way. You just expect the challenger to fight harder. You don't cry when someone steps into your space. You either step up or step aside. Right? But can we not, like, here's also the funny thing. No one ever complains when the top dog gets counter-produced. What do I mean by that? WrestleMania weekend is the biggest weekend of counter-programming ever. Go ask Wavy D. Wavy D, when you were in Vegas for Mania this past April, I know Wavy D went to GCW, Bloodsport. Ask him they were running shows as early as Wednesday that week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All days in which independent promotions were running shows solely because they knew wrestling fans would be in Las Vegas. And guess what? That's how it's supposed to work. That's business. It's business. But AEW's done its fair share of counter-programming. You don't think that they try to capitalize on the buzz of WWE being in a city? You're crazy, right? You're absolutely crazy. They just don't have the leverage for it to make any noise. And let me give you an example, right? Now, is it running shows at the same time? No. But they saw the Australia market worked for WWE. So guess what? We're going to leverage that, and we're going to try to put our own show there. And you did it worse. You tried to book a big arena, couldn't sell it, so you moved it to a smaller stadium, right? And then you couldn't bring a ring over. You just, that whole fiasco, right? But this isn't evil. This isn't evil, right? It's strategy. It's strategy. I'm so tired of these AEW fans throwing tantrums, crying tears, right? You guys, you know, when AEW was started, I remember vividly, we're going to have the Wednesday night wars, or we're going to redo the Monday night wars. And sure, maybe that was an unfair, like, comparison, but it was your fans who started it. I need to let you guys know something. Wars aren't clean. They're not polite. You win by being better, by being louder. And yeah, sometimes you win by stepping on a few toes. If AEW fans and executives are shook that WWE is putting out a better product on a hotter night at the same time, then the issue isn't WWE. The issue is your show. You're just not ready. You don't own July 12th. You don't own Memorial Day weekend. Because when WWE pulls up, they don't ask for permission. They're coming to remind you we're still the standard of the industry. If that bothers you, step up, get better, produce better shows. Otherwise, please get out of our way. Why are we complaining about counter-programming? It doesn't make any sense. But my main factor is you're complaining because the complaint was, okay, well, WWE announced Saturday night's main event on the 12th. It was going to be at 8 o'clock. And so Tony Khan said, you know what? We'll be the nice guy. We'll move our show, our all-in show. We'll move it to earlier in the afternoon. We don't want to compete with WWE. We'll be the nice guy. We'll move it to I think, like 3:30. And then WWE comes out and says, okay, well, we'll counter-product that as well. And we'll just throw Great American Bash on at 3:30, July 12th. But it's an NXT show. So what you're telling me is you don't think that your biggest event of the year can outdraw NXT. And here's the thing. I actually agree with you. You're not going to outdraw NXT. You're just not. You're just not. There's a lot of momentum going in with NXT, right? That is crazy. You know what's also crazy? Going 40 minutes on opening thoughts. Let's get to the news. two little things here. The first is Mr. Iguana, everyone's favorite luchador. He went on a podcast and basically said that WWE is moving him straight to the main roster. And this is perfect. Now, I do agree with something that I saw Wavy D say in the comments of James and Cody show that yesterday, that Mr. Iguana is not a long-term project, right? You got to take it while it goes, though, right? Because eventually, when the steam burns out and people stop caring about it, it's done. It's over. Get as much money as you can out of it right now. And I'm sorry, that's the business of what you're what their decision making is. You can't let this thing slow burn. You got to get as much money as you can out of it now, because AEW fans are confused as to why WWE fans who watch Worlds Collide love Mr. Iguana so much, because he's a character, right? There's something to latch on to, right? He has La Yesca, which I found out Yesca is just slang for marijuana, which is a crazy thing to name your iguana, but it is what it is. He has La Yesca, right? And if they use it the way he's used it in AAA, where the referees actually start to, like, you know, treat the stuffed animal as an actual manager, like you would someone like Paul Heyman, and like throw him out of matches and disqualify him from being ringside and stuff like that, bro, this would be perfect, right? But I see this being in the vein of, like, first off, this dude can go in the ring. He did some move, like he did these like bounces off of the ropes that were like perfect. So he could wrestle, like he can be in the ring. He could do the luchador style, but he also, like, you know what separated him from the rest of the people during that show? Right, because one of the big issues I have with lucha wrestling is that everyone does the same style of moves. That the main thing, and this is actually a very important part of their culture. I'm not trying to be culturally like disrespectful, but like the only thing that's different for a lot of the wrestlers are the masks, right? And so for me, it was great to see, okay, cool, we have guys like Vikingo, who I know can wrestle, and he put on a banger match. And you have guys like Wagner Jr. and Pagano and Psycho Clown and Octagon Jr. and Aerostar, and we have those guys, and y'all can go. But you all look the same, kinda, right? You all are masked wrestlers. You all do some of the same stuff. And then we have this dude over here who paints his face green, has a stuffed iguana that interferes for him, and that's different. That's something that I can go to a show and expect to be entertained by. I don't think it's a long-term thing in WWE, but it's something now. There's a movement now. I'm all for him being main roster. I do. I think he got a grand stage PLE entrance, and he has to stay on the main roster now. He does. The second piece of news is that formerly known as Jakara Jackson, now going by Mara Shade, did what every other woman who no longer wrestles in WWE does, the most logical thing that women who are only over because of how attractive they are do when they get released from WWE, and that is they start an OnlyFans. And when I saw this news, James shared it in Discord, and my actual response was, of course you did, because there's nothing else you guys that women can, and it's, I'm going to rant a little bit, right? Just a little bit of a rant here. There's nothing else women could do to get themselves over other than sell their body, and it really annoys me. It really does. Like, it's we could talk about the moral issues of OnlyFans at a different time, right? We've already had that conversation. But it really annoys me that women in today's society, not just in wrestling, but women in today's society feel feel have been degraded, even amongst themselves, that they feel the need that they can't make money anyway. Because I even know people who are like, oh, I'm struggling living paycheck to paycheck. I'm just going to start posting on OnlyFans to make some side money. Guys, girls, do you not have any, like, this is more of a, do you not have any self-worth that you feel the need that you have to sell yourself as a commodity? And then I want to swing this around to the dudes, right? Because this isn't just the girls' fault. Dudes, do you not have any self-worth in yourself that you continue to supply the need for OnlyFans? Like there's no need for it. It's degrading. I can go all day on this. It's degrading to women. It supplies, you know, and it may not in this case supply sex trafficking, but it supplies the decentralization for sex trafficking that happens in the porn industry. Because again, that's what this is, right? And I used to sit here forever arguing with people. Our OnlyFans is not porn. It's Patreon, but with less oversight. Well, that's the point. It has less oversight. So it's where the porn people go, because Patreon won't allow you to post porn on their website, right? And sure, I'm sure she's just doing bikini photos and photo shoots. That's fine. It's still desensualizing the idea of women selling their bodies as a commodity. It makes women commodities, not human beings. It decentralizes them. It dehumanizes them. It continues to feed the need for this smut, and it produces a world where, okay, well, it's just bikini photos. We would have never said that 35 years ago, 40 years ago. It's just bikini. No, it's pornography. Right? And while we probably can't make porn illegal, because there is, I think, legal precedent on that, it is considered, you know, protected speech. Just because it's protected doesn't mean it's a good thing. And I've already had these rants. I just don't think it's good for our society to continue to accept this. And so this is what, and typically I wouldn't have made this a news story, but I want to continue to just put in people's minds, this is not a good thing. That you have people like Elena Black who are like, she's what, like 24, 25 years old? Who think it's okay, who care so little about her self-worth that she thinks it's okay to go and sell her body and sell herself on the internet. This isn't normal behavior. And we should call it out for what it is. It's degeneracy. You have someone like Jakara Jackson, Mara Sade, who is, she's in her 30s. So she's a grown ass woman. She's 30 years old, right? But her first thought was, I got released. I'm a free agent now. Let me go sell my body. Because that's the only, right? Mandy Rose gets released. Actually, Mandy Rose starts posting pictures, gets told to stop or we're going to fire you, and says, okay, fire me then. Thinking, sure, she might have money now. That's great. She's probably making more money than she ever had in her life. And you know what? Power to her if that's what she wants. But who hurt you that you think it's okay to just sell your body? I just don't get it. I don't get why we applaud this. I don't get why men buy this. I don't understand it. Why people continue to decentralize and dehumanize women from the dignity. Like I'm not even kidding. Ancient cultures were depraved. They had some weird things that ancient civilizations did that we look at and we look our nose up, but they would look at us and they'd be like, "You're doing what? You're dehumanizing women." Ancient cultures protected women. In fact, men, we are designed and specifically created to protect women. But instead, we're just gonna be like, "Nah, we're just gonna let them degrade themselves." And we're going to supply the demand that continues to make people think that it's okay to degrade themselves. It's crazy what we do in the right. Ran over though. We'll move on to my thoughts on NXT. Right. NXT. So my first thought is this. We're not going to go over the entire show just because I don't necessarily think we should. There's no real need to it. So first off, we will start here, though. Sean Legacy is a dude. He had a match against Ethan Page for the title. He's a dude. He's really good. If you haven't seen Sean Legacy, go watch Evolve on Wednesdays if you want on Tubi. We'll just start with that. Very good match, right? Right, but then we get to some of the slower parts in the show. Nico Vance and Sean Spears versus Briggs and Inamora. I don't care about the match itself. I like the Culling. I think the story they're doing with kicking Brooks Jensen out of the Culling is very intriguing, and I'm interested to see where they take the story part of it. I just don't care about the match. I don't care to see them wrestle all the time. Right. Same thing with like the next match, Lash versus Rin Sinclair. I love both of these women. Not enough to sit here and watch them wrestle on a weekly show, right? At this point, you get the big surprise. You get the backstage segment debuting the name from Mariah May to her newly named Blake Monroe. Everyone's going crazy over, "Oh, this is such a bad name. Oh, she's copying Sabrina Carpenter and her." Well, sure, absolutely. Why wouldn't you? Sabrina Carpenter is one of the hottest, literally, and in business, in the music world. She's one of the hottest women on the planet right now. Again, both physically and in the world of music. Probably more popular than Taylor Swift. I know that's going to piss the Swifties off, but, right? So I don't see a problem with the name. Blake is her niece's name. It's obviously an ode to family, which is great. Monroe is definitely going to be a play on Marilyn Monroe. Oh, she's copying Toni Storm. Well, if you don't copyright your shit, of course WWE is going to take it. That's the point. Oh, like she's just going to copyright her gimmick from AEW. Yeah, she's just copying it. Well, yeah, because you didn't do anything to protect your business, Tony Khan. What did you think you were gonna get out of Mariah May? You're gonna get a brand new character? No, you're gonna use the things that you know work, and this works. I just don't get right. You have JC Jane versus Lainey Reed for the NXT Women's Championship, impromptu match made that night. Let me tell you something. Lainey Reed can wrestle. I like me some Lainey Reed. She's a star already, right? Not the best match. Right. Lainey Reed's good, though. I do. I'm not. This transitional title reign is going to be interesting to see how this goes. Right. But then we give like Luca and Tony versus the High Rise, which is Wesley's team, Tyson DuPont and the Tyreek Igwe. Again, I like the story of the D'Angelo family. Not enough to see them wrestle a random tag team, though. And there's the point in the story, though, in the match, though, that gets interesting with Luca in the crowbar. Is he going to attack Tony D? Stax comes out and attacks Tony D. Is Luca going to hit Tony with the... You get that tension still, right? That was the best part of the whole match. We get a segment backstage with Miles Bourne officially being let go from the NQCC and Tavian Heights trying to do the same thing, and Charlie Dempsey said no. Right. And then you get your main event between Oba Femi and Jasper Troy. And Jasper Troy is that dude. Oba wins, but Jasper Troy is that dude. And he's going to be a big star down the line. But the big thing that I want to talk about is WWE again, and is doing a tournament to see who will be the challenger for JC Jane. So JC Jane does the match with Lainey Reed and says, you got to, and so Ava stands in the crow's nest after the match and says, JC, you got to pick your first challenger. Now I, as GM, going to pick your second. We're going to do a tournament and you're going to defend at Evolution against the winner of this tournament. And so if I could ever find the tournament bracket, there we go. So we have eliminator matches. Which I then will assume will coincide with a fatal four-way. And so it's not necessarily a tournament, but it's another tournament style to determine. Instead of actually building a story, we use this lazy plot device that AEW made fucking popular. And for whatever reason, WWE decides to, they want to continue to use this shit. And they do it on main roster, Raw and SmackDown. Now they're bringing it to NXT. This is lazy booking. All eight women in this are fantastic. No complaints on the eight women that are in these eliminators. But my complaint is with the lazy booking. Why don't you tell a story? You have a story. I booked this when JC Jane won the tournament, won the title 2 weeks ago. I told you how you can run this. Have a jealousy angle with Fallon Henley, where Fallon attacks JC, right? And you have Fallon Henley versus JC Jane at Great American Bash. I don't know why we're running. I love the fact that NXT is running at Evolution and being a part of the show. And really what it is because there's not enough main roster talent that'll draw, that you need another title on the show, which is crazy, because if you would have put some firepower in your mid-card women's division, those titles would mean something, and you would have Io defending, Tiffany defending, Becky defending, and Zelina defending, and then you could have your dream matches, like we're gonna get a Bella's match, like Nikki Bella and Brie Bella will probably team up against the Liv and Raquel, which will be a fantastic match, by the way. And then you could run, you know, other mid-card match. Like, you could run probably, again, I don't know how many matches this is going to be. I would assume this will probably be closer to 10 than the 5 mark that Triple H typically does. Because there's going to be outrage if this is only a 5-match card. Right? I don't know why we're running this at Evolution. Part of me wonders, like, should I even buy a Great American Bash ticket? I'm not. I don't want to be in Atlanta that weekend, where the All-Star game is going to be, and a Beyonce concert at the same time as WWE. Traffic's already a nightmare. I don't want to be there. I'm just going to watch it from my home and the safety and the comfort and the coolness of my house, where I don't have to deal with traffic. But we have Lash Legend taking on Kalani Jordan, Zaria versus Izzy Dame, Thea Hale versus Jada Parker, Lola Vice versus Jordan Grace. Right. If I had to guess, and that's what we're going to do, Kalani, Jada, Lola, and Zaria. That would be my guess. And my guess then will be that they will fight in a fatal four-way. But you have a month to build to Evolution. You have a month to build to Evolution. So rather than doing stupid, why don't you pick? Don't know what happened there. Rather than doing stupid eliminators, why don't you pick someone to be the next contender and build a month worth of storyline that will make the match mean something, rather than make it feel like it's supposed to be just a random, you know, UFC match? Because here's the thing, they're trying to do this UFC style of like, random opponents, right? And it's not going to work. right? Because UFC basically like, you're the champion, where you're going to, you mind fighting this guy, sign the contract. We'll see you in, 8 weeks. And there's really, you know, and the press conferences, you know, because the entertainment aspect does build drawing power, they hype up these contract signings and stuff. But this isn't UFC. This requires storyline to make the matches mean something. You can't just throw JC Jane against a random opponent and expect people to care, right? I love NXT, and I don't want the booking to become super lazy like this. This is lazy booking. This is a very lazy, uninspiring, uncreative booking. Like, there's no reason why you couldn't say, okay, well, Jordan's had her shot. Let's throw Lola. Lola did a great job representing NXT in Worlds Collide. Let's give her a title match. Let's build a four-week story why Lola should win, right? Or if you want to do Lash, or, you know, Lash Legend would be interesting, right? Ultimately, we know that at some point, Mariah May is going to win the title. This really confuses me, though, because Mariah, like the obvious thing you should do is have in the show going against AEW, which would be Great American Bash. You should have a title match with Mariah May versus JC Jane. That should be your story. If we're being realistic, you have a month to build that story between now Brooke Monroe, or Blake, excuse me. I don't know why I wanted to call her Brooke. Between Blake Monroe and JC Jane, you have a month to build that story. So why are we not doing that at Great American Bash, having Miss Monroe win the title at Great American Bash? That should be your story. I don't get this booking. I don't. You don't have to use everyone, right? Just tell me a story. Use the characters that are relevant for the story, right? Because Thea and Jade are building a decent feud right now, right? I get why we're having these matches, but why do we have to just randomly throw them in and randomly grant them? This makes, like, when the main roster does this, it's the reason Money in the Bank doesn't feel as important. It's why Rumble doesn't feel as important, because why win Rumble? Why go through 30 superstars when I can just go slap the champion, or when I can just go and, like, complain to the GM and get a title match? It makes no sense to me. Like, why would any of these eight women want to go through these eliminators when I could just pull Eleni Reed and go slap her and get a match that night? It makes no sense. It makes no sense to me. The booking's lazy and uncreative. So that's my thoughts on NXT. So let's move to the deep five. Which is top five things that We Too Deep would bring back or change if I were in control of pro wrestling, right? So the first would be, we're bringing back kayfabe. And I know the response, bro, kayfabe's dead. No. Kayfabe is not dead. Kayfabe is a choice. But also, kayfabe is not a word for the fans. Like, I'm not, when I say bring back kayfabe, I'm not sitting here asking fans to pretend like what we're watching isn't, you know, glorified fake fighting. I'm not sitting here saying that fans need to walk around pretending like it's a real fight, because kayfabe is not a term for the fans. Kayfabe is a term for the workers. It's a worker term, right? And all it simply means is protect your business. So what do I mean by that? This more so is protect your business off camera, because we live in a digital age now where everyone and their mother has a social media. And so I would have a super, if I ran a promotion, I would have a super, super strict and well micromanage. I don't like micromanagement, but this I would micromanage. You're not going to expose the illusion on social media. We're going to use social media as a tool to help get the feud over, not as a tool that will expose the business. So what does that mean? Well, if I have a hot baby face, like a J-level baby face going against a Dom-level heel, they're not going to post pictures on each other's boat on 4th of July weekend, even if they're best friends. You know what? You could save that for your personal accounts. That's fine. But on your character accounts, you're protecting your business. Bring back kayfabe. Bring back the illusion, right? The second thing, characters and character development. You know what my favorite thing on NXT is? And has been for quite a while? Tony D'Angelo. Because for the last like 3 to 4 years, Tony D'Angelo's been consistently the only thing on TV that has character and character development. Whether it's Tony, whether it's Stax, whether it's Luca, whether it's Rizzo. There's characters, there's direction, there's storytelling, and there's character development. That should be industry standard. Right? That should be industry standard. You want me to care about you? Make a character, give them a story, give them some development, build characters. That's your job as head booker, as producer of the show. Your job is to make characters and develop them so that we care about them or that we love to hate them if they're a massive heel, right? So characters and character development. Don't just throw matches at me. That doesn't get me intrigued. And so if We Too Deep ran or Slap and Eat Pro Wrestling, you know, as head booker, you know, for damn certain there's going to be characters and there's going to be character development. Third thing, make title runs important again. Guys, I'm so tired of this hot potato championship bullshit where fans expect title changes every time the title gets defended. No, dog. Now, I like a surprise every now and then. JC Jane winning the title was a great surprise. Gunther winning the title on Monday was a great surprise, a very, very deserved surprise that we really needed. The Yeet Slayer, all praise the Yeet Slayer. The Yeet Slayer, say that 18 times. All praise, all hail the Yeet Slayer. And now we're going to send Jimmy Uso, not Jimmy, we're send Jay back with Big Jim into the tag division, and hopefully they could save the tag division once again. You know we're getting Uso's New Day. Come on now. Come on. You know we're getting it. And I can't wait for it. It's the greatest feud of all time in tag team history, if you ask me. But title runs need to feel important. And in order to do that, the title can't be defended every week. Your main titles shouldn't be defended every week. Your mid-cards absolutely should be defended as often as possible, because that's what builds, because the mid-card titles, your IC title, your US title, those are your workhorse titles. I still stand. So there's two different ways, you depending on the level of prestige or level of the title, right? So if it's a main card, if it's your world champion, your world heavyweight champion, your WWE champion, right? Should not be defending anywhere but PLEs. Just my opinion, right? Should not be wrestling anywhere but PLEs. Why? They are attractions. Why did Roman Reigns' title reign feel important? Right? Because Roman showed up 12 times a year. Let's just average that. I don't know the exact amount, but Roman showed up 12 times a year. When Roman Reigns showed up, it meant something. When Roman Reigns defended his title, it meant something. Right? When Jey Uso defends his title, did it mean anything? No. Because how many times did Jey Uso defend his title? Like every week it felt like, right? Every week he was offering up that title. Your world heavyweight champions should not be running open challenges. Your IC and your United States champions, without a doubt, if they're baby faces, should be running open challenges every week. And you should be having, you know, for the lack of better terms, qualifier matches where let's take the IC title, right? IC champion is, who is the IC champion? Fuck. Who the fuck is the IC champion? This is the problem. Why do I not know who the IC champion is? It's not Breaker. Who the fuck is the IC champion? Oh, Well, that's why, because it's Dominic. Well, it's Dominic. Okay, so Dominic is not a babyface, so this really wouldn't work for his booking. But he is a babyface. We know he is. Just make the turn already. Make the turn already. Have the New Day have the Judgment Day turn on Dom already. Make him a babyface. But Dom should go out there and he should be fighting in a title match. And then you could take two other mid-card talents and do a qualifier for who challenges Dom the next week. That's how you should run your mid-card. And we'll get to that. That's actually number four. A strong focus on the weekly Monday and Friday shows on the mid-card. Right? Your week-to-week shows should have a strong focus on the mid-card. You just picture this, right? On a Monday Night Raw, you have a title match for the men's and women's IC and a qualifier for who will be in the championship match the next week. That's four matches right there. Where you don't, because I don't necessarily believe your mid-card needs deep stories. You just need a lot of action and prestige in the title run. That is where you can run your big-time match, your athletic matches and your flippy shit. Like if Will Ospreay was in WWE, I would put him in the IC title picture. That's where he would stay. I would make him IC champion right away, and he would defend that bitch every single week. And people will be happy, right? So that then when you give your two segments a night to your main event, your EO Skies and your now Gunthers, where you give your two segments a night for your big shit, and that shit means something. You don't have 17 segments with Seth Rollins talking to the World Heavyweight Champion and being involved, right? You don't run all of that shit. Like, there needs to be a super strong focus on the mid-card on these weekly shows, because that is the foundation. That is the soul of the weekly show should be your mid card. I don't want to see Seth Rollins wrestle every week. He's an attraction. I don't want to see Bron Breakker wrestle every week. He's an attraction. I don't want to see Roman Reigns wrestle every week. I don't want to see Punk wrestle every week. I definitely don't want to see Sami Zayn wrestle every week. He could just, Kara asked the question, who are you pink slipping if you could, and why is it Sami Zayn? Well, it's Sami Zayn just because I don't want to see him on my television, right? And then the last thing, can we make heels that are actually heels and not just the cool, like, for example, Seth Rollins does not come off as a heel to me. He's too cool. He still has the fun, likable music that people sing to. He's not a heel. He's a babyface dressed up and acting. He does some heel stuff, but he's not a full heel. Can we have heels that are actually heels? Who are, Latina Heat, Eddie Guerrero type heels. Lie, cheat, and steal type heels. Like, and this isn't like MJF is not a heel to me. He's just a dickhead is really what he is, right? Being a heel isn't saying mean things about the city you're in and getting the cheap heat and calling the fan base fat, dirty Southerners or whatever, MJF likes to do, right? That's not being a heel. Right? Do some actual, like, 80s-style heel work. Can we have... And I'm not saying, like being a heel isn't, like, bleeding and blading and cutting people with scissors, like, ricochet things as being heel work. Like, actual heel stuff. Like, using the ropes and distracting the ref. And like Logan Paul is a heel to me. Like, a real 80s-style heel who hides the brass knuckles and uses the ropes, and like that's heel work to me. Can we make every heel that? Like, does the New Day supposed to be a heel, but what do the New Day do that are heelish other than say some rude things to the fan base? And they act a little bit darker, and they dress in different clothes, and they have a darker, menacing, right? Even with, like, Naomi. Like, Naomi's theme song is a banger. Her new character is great, but what does she do that's actually heel shit on a week-to-week basis in the ring? Right? Can we actually have... So, to put simple, bring back kayfabe. Characters and character development. Make title runs important. Strong focus on the mid-card. on the weekly shows and make heels actual heels. That is the deep five for this week. And then the last thing we're going to talk about, our final thoughts of this episode. There's two of them. The first is pretty quick, and it's I'm getting off of social media. No more IG. I've been off of IG for a while. No, I just got rid of TikTok again, and I just got rid of X. And that's going to be tough because X is where I spend a lot of my time. And that's part of the reason why I'm getting off. The first is it's just a toxic trash hole. But secondly, it's just a waste of energy and time that I really could be spending on in anywhere else but in the brain rot known as social media. And so unless you, the only place you can find me is in the Discord just from here on out. And if you send me like IG links or X links, I'm probably not going to click on them because I don't have them anymore. And so just that forewarning, not a lot of, and not saying I'm better than anyone or anything, just that forewarning, don't look for me on X. Don't try to tag me or anything. I'm not there. Just letting y'all know that. I don't know why I decided to put that in the show. I just wanted to tell you that. But the last and final thought of the week of wrestling is I've been, over the last couple months, I've been told I criticize wrestling too much. That, bro, you're just too negative, and you're being negative for the sake of being negative, and it's edgy. You're trying to be edgy and cringy and thinking that this is going to get viewership. And I'm going to reference again what I constantly say. I don't care about viewership. I don't, right? I could have one. I could have a million. Viewership does not matter, right? It does not matter to me. It doesn't. I do this because I like I said, I need a place to facilitate my own thoughts and opinions on pro wrestling. While it seems like all I do is criticize pro wrestling, that I don't like it. I've been even asked, if you don't like it, why do you watch it? No, I criticize because I love pro wrestling. I love everything about pro wrestling. Y'all don't understand this, right? I want it to be the best entertainment source it could be. I know Raw can be better because I've seen it. I've seen it when it was better. And so I critique it so we can get back, right? I know AEW can be better, and because I've seen it. I've seen a really, really good AEW product before. I know they could be better. And so I critique it. I'm not a yes man that's just going to shake his head and say, yeah, that was a fine show. It was good. And the last thing I'm going to do is lower my standards for the product. I've been told, bro, just lower your standards. No, I have high standards for the entertainment that I watch. Because if I'm going to give you 9 hours a week, and it's not that much. It's what, 2.5 on Monday, 2 on Tuesday, 3 on Thursday, so 4.5, 7. If I'm going to give you 8 hours, let's just round it up and say 8 hours. And then if I watch AEW, depending on, you know, that's 4 hours a week, 12 hours. If I'm going to give up 12 hours of my free time, right? I don't have a lot of free time, right? But if I'm going to give up 12 hours to watch pro wrestling, now I'm not watching Collision, so we could take away two, so that's 10 hours, right? But if you think, you know, I'm at work 8 hours a day, I sleep probably 8 hours a day. Let's go back. Let's make that closer to six. That's this, just working and sleeping is 14 hours. And then you consider probably 2 hours driving to and from work. Probably a total amount of time of like 2 hours eating. So that's 18 hours. A day, that leaves me 6 hours of free time, and it's not even that much, if we're being honest. But let's say 6 hours a day times 7 days a week is 42 hours out of 168 in a week, right? So I have about a fourth of my available time. I have about a fourth of a week, 25% of the time during a week of hours available, I would consider free time that I have things I can do whatever I want to do, right? Right? If I'm going to give you, of the 42 hours I have available, and you want me to give you 12 of them, so my available hours, you want me to give you 28% of my free time. You want me to give up a fourth of my free time, a little bit more than a fourth, actually. Then you better give me good product or else I'm going to tune out. And so what do? I take more free time for myself by not watching SmackDown because it's bad. Now, once I get reports from people that I trust that the shows are actually consistently good, then maybe I'll start watching again, right? But if I'm going to give you time, time is the most important commodity we have on earth, because once you give it, you can't take it back, right? I can give you money and earn more money, right? I can give you resources and earn more resources. I can't give you time and earn more time. Once time is gone, you never get it back. And so time is the most important commodity you have on earth. In daily existence, your time is the most important thing that you have. And if I'm going to give up time to watch a show, if it's not good, if I don't enjoy it the way that it should be enjoyed, I will definitely speak up and say, bro, you just wasted my time. For example, we're an hour and 22 minutes into this show. If you guys felt that this was a waste of your hour and 22 minutes, I would fully expect you to not tune back in. You're not going to make yourself miserable if you don't feel that the time that you guys, right, give to watch the show, if you don't enjoy it, I don't know why you would even tune in. Or, because that's the AEW fan logic. Or you could say, I know you used to do good programming. That was a bad episode. Here's why it's a bad episode. And then you would critique the show. That's perfectly fine. Critique all you want. Leave them in the comments, preferably on YouTube, so we can get into that algorithm. Let's be smart. Let's do good business. If you're going to critique me, at least help me out, right? But, yeah, if you love a product, why would you, and it's not the same product that it once was. For example, right? You know, if you're in the South, the Southeast United States, you know of Zaxby's, right? Zaxby's used to be so good when I worked there, at least. And their menu was great. They had, right? Their menu is butthole now. They took away all the good things to save money during COVID, and they never brought them back. And the quality of the food just isn't the same, right? But I love the product. And so what do? You go to the contact us and you say, man, why did you take away the best sandwich on the damn menu, right? You go to their Facebook when they post new ads that they're bringing quesadillas. And by the way, their quesadillas are damn fantastic. But I would rather have the club sandwich if you could bring that back, Zaxby's, if you're listening. I know you're not, but if you are, if you just so happen to listen, Zaxby's, bring back the club sandwich. Anyway. Right. If you love a product and you know it was once good and it still has that potential to be good, why would you not expect it to be what the level it has been on before? You could tune out and walk away, or you could hold them accountable and say, I know you could be better. And that's all me critiquing the wrestling is I know you can be better. Why are we so boring? Why are we so bland? Why are we so okay with comfortability and complacency? in the right, I just don't get it, right? I'm not a yes man. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like everything is fine and dandy when the product is boring on both companies. AEW on Wednesday ran 4 hours, not a single time. It was background noise the entire time it was on the television. And not a single time did I look up from my phone and think, oh, this is actually interesting. I watched like this the entire time, listening to what is going on. And not once did I ever say, this is interesting enough to get out of my phone. That is what I mean when a product is boring. That is how I watch Raw now. The only times I'll ever peek up from my phone during Raw is when Bury Me plays, and you're like, what the fuck is Bury Me? That's Stephanie Vaquer's theme song. She can bury me with the devil's kiss if she wants to. But that's the only time I ever peeked up from my phone on Monday was when her theme song hit. And I don't even think it hit on Monday. I don't remember. I know it hit on Saturday a couple times. But that's the only time I really ever pay attention to Raw anymore is when there's people that I like, Stephanie Vaquer on, right? There's just nothing going on that made me say, this is interesting storyline. Oh, I looked up. I'm being honest with you. I was in my phone so deep during whoever AJ Styles fought. I think it was Penta or somebody. I don't even know. I don't even know who he fought. I know AJ Styles had a match. Right? I just don't know who it was against. Right? I know Cena had a promo against Punk, and they set up the Saudi match. I just don't care. I know Nikki Bella was there and got attacked by Liv, but I just don't care. Oh, yeah, it was Styles. Again, he fought Gable. Sure, that was probably a banger match, but it wasn't important enough for me to get out of my phone and even remember who the hell AJ Styles fought. Right? That's what I'm trying to say. That is what I mean by Raw is boring and why I critique the program as we wrap this thing up into one pretty little bow called the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. That's the show for you, man. I don't critique for the sake of being edgy. I critique because I know the product can be better and I have high expectations for entertainment when I give, right? For example, right? Everyone that's a Lil Wayne fan is giving a pass for the absolute dog shit he released last week, right? I'm be honest with you. The reviews on the album is the reason I've never played the album, so I don't know how bad it is. But there are trusted people that I trust that listen to rap music who tell me, don't even play it. The shit was awful. And I could just tell by the track list that it was going to be bad. I mean, I'm not the biggest Lil Wayne fan to begin with, right? But I where are all the people who back in February were like, Lil Wayne should be doing the Super Bowl? Where are you at now? You still think he should be doing the Super Bowl? This dude is absolute trash, dude. And I know that's heresy, that's blasphemy in the hip-hop world to some people that I would call Lil Wayne trash. But there's not a single Lil Wayne. Let me tell you this way. The only Lil Wayne song that I even care about on a normal basis that I even think about isn't even Lil Wayne's song. It's the song that he's on with Lil Wayne, No Love. That's the only song that I think of when someone says Lil Wayne. That's the first song that I think of. And that's the only verse that I think Lil Wayne did good. And he got bodied by M on the same song that he did a feature on. I just don't see what everyone sees in Lil Wayne. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. Right? But unless you're a Lil Wayne fan and you're a yes man, right? Everyone else is critiquing the album. Why? Because either they know Lil Wayne could do better. Like, I'm sure he's had some good albums. You know, like, A Millie, A Millie, that's a great track. I love that song. 6 foot, 7 foot's a good song. And so we know he can do better. And so when you release trash and we know we have high expectations for it, you critique the product. If you expect a great plate of food because you've had a great plate of food at a restaurant before and you order it and it comes out and it's butt cheek compared to what it was before, you're going to complain about it. Why is it then when it comes to wrestling, when we get bad product, I'm not allowed to critique it? It's crazy to me. And that's the final thought. This has been the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm Way Too Deep. Thank you all for listening to me each and every episode. If you liked it, like, share, subscribe, follow, whatever your thing is. If you're on audio, if you're on audio, a 5-star review would be fantastic. That helps us. That helps them in their algorithm say, hey, people like this show. More people should listen to it. If you're on YouTube, leave a comment, leave a thumbs up. That does the same thing. It tells other people on YouTube, hey, you should probably watch this. You like this wrestling content? You should probably watch this. That's all we have for you on this episode, though. Until Tuesday, I'm Way Too Deep, and I hope you guys have a great weekend. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you, hopefully, on Tuesday. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Me Wrestling every Tuesday.